This recording, New Zealand 10, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start at a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much." But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
I'm from a place in Christchurch called South Brighton, which is a nice beachy side of town. So you've got about, like, with my house, and then you walk around and there's 2 minutes to the beach over at Sandhill. So it's a cool place, get a lot of surfing, done a lot of swimming. You have to take the bus into town, which is a bit tiresome, but once you get into town it's fun. Where I grew up in Christchurch it wasn't. The South Island is quite known for not having much of a Māori-based population, mm-hmm. as much as the North Island. Mm-hmm. But where my tribe's from, my iwi, it's very like Māori orientated. Like, I stay with my grandparents, and my cousins are down the road and stuff, so it's all close now. Ke te pai tēne kōrero I nā nei, no te mea, e kōrero e kōrero e mōhio, taku reo, engari, ka mōhio ki a marama koe i te hangoa e koreo, e kore taku reo, e tika.
And what is the name of your tribe?
I have 2 tribes. My first tribe is called Ngāpuhi, which is located right at the top of the North Island. And my other tribe is Ngāi Te Rangi, which is just like, if you come down the North Island, it's just a little inlet there at a place called Whakatane. I first discovered Shakespeare in third form when I got asked to do, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream? Mm-hmm. I got asked, I was third form, I was 13, I got asked to play Theseus. And I was like, whoa, big role, you know. Well, actually, when I first heard the role, I was like, oh, you know, I just like stuff, you know. But as it went on, I realized how like large the role was, even though I didn't get many lines. I said to me, I was like, wow, like, because I'd never found anything quite like Shakespeare. Like, I did a few musicals in intermediate school and stuff, as you do. But Shakespeare was like, I was like, what is this? Why are the words so strange? Like, what makes the words this way? And then, of course, the next year we did Romeo and Juliet, in which I managed to nab Romeo, which was quite awesome. And I didn't encounter Shakespeare until 2005, when I really started developing my passion, because here they had the Sheila Wynne Shakespeare Festival, which is, and I got into that, and it was just like 800 people, like all into Shakespeare, and like it was there that I really discovered a passion for it. And the following year, I sort of really studied and all the plays and all the language, and sort of got deeper and deeper into it. The thing I love most about Shakespeare is it's you have some plays these days, and they sort of send you in one direction. That are made to send you one direction. But with Shakespeare, it's words on a text, so you can do whatever you want with it. You can change one whole speech to be made angry, to be made sad, comedic. And it allows so much diversity within like one play. Say, the Comedy of Errors, you could do it in so many ways. It's just, it can just be reused over and over again. And you can do it in such a way which connects with people. Like we did Hamlet in Molly, and that to me, we toured it around, and that to me, it allowed us to connect with people who wouldn't be able to connect with Shakespeare because it was in Molly. Right. So all the Molly sort of kids sort of pricked up their ears, like, ooh, what's going on here? That's basically what I love about it. And the language is just beautiful. Yeah. Like, you sit there and do a speech from Hamlet, and it's just like... my old tutor, who's a great inspiration to me, he said it's like jewels on the mouth. So you speak your speech, and it's like, to be or not to be. But soft what light through yonder window breaks. And it's just pure poetry.